Welcome to Powering Travel, a new audio platform brought to you by Expedia Group. Did you know that entrepreneurship is on the rise? According to Harvard Business Review, Americans filed 59% more applications to start new businesses in 2023 than before the pandemic. This trend isn't only specific to the United States. New research from travel counselors finds that nearly two-thirds of Brits would consider starting their own business. The most recent Global Entrepreneurship Monitor reports that there were approximately 594 million entrepreneurs in the world in 2023, which is around 7.4% of the total population. With the upward trend of entrepreneurship, our platform is supporting independent travel providers in various ways. From vacation rental hosts to travel advisors, our tools and technology enable these entrepreneurs to make informed decisions about their businesses and grow at their own pace, all while delivering the best travel experiences to their customers. To give you a behind-the-scenes look of what it means to run an independent company in the travel industry, we're bringing you two entrepreneurs leveraging the Expedia Group platform to manage and grow their business. To give you a behind-the-scenes look of what it means to run an independent company in the travel industry, we're bringing you two entrepreneurs leveraging the Expedia Group platform to manage and grow their businesses. Our first guest is Michelle Ruber, a Portland-based Vrbo host with over 12 years of experience in the vacation rental industry. She transitioned from a successful career in sustainable building and design to pursue her passion for creating unique, eco-friendly spaces. Leveraging Vrbo's platform and local networking, she's built a thriving business while enjoying the flexibility to travel. Her commitment extends beyond business as she uses her properties to host dinners for refugee families in her hometown, reflecting her dedication to social responsibility and community engagement. After my chat from Michelle, you'll hear from Rebecca Smiley, a travel advisor with a passion for travel. She started in the travel industry 2 years ago after a career as a college admissions counselor. Through dedication and a focus on offering personalized boutique travel experiences, Rebecca is tracking at 81% growth in 2024. Lots to cover in this episode. Let's get right into it. Well, Michelle, thanks so much for joining us today on Powering Travel. I have so many questions for you focused on your unique take on being a vacation rental host. But before we get into that, can you give us a little background on how you got started?
Absolutely. And thank you so much for having me on here. So I would say there wasn't one specific moment that I thought, oh, yes, this is now a new career. It was a series of kind of steps. So I used to travel often for conferences, and I would stay for a week at a time. And we were in hotels for a while, and then we switched to vacation rentals. And we realized, wow, this has a lot more to offer. We had the each private bedrooms and the living room, a kitchen, obviously laundry. And so that was my first experience from a vacation rental standpoint was work travel and staying within for weeks at a time. Then I got married and I married a man from the Netherlands. So his family was all coming over from Holland and we were looking for a large home in Portland where we live. And we couldn't find a house that was big enough for all of us to stay in. And then that made me think like, maybe there's a niche here for a vacation rental, an urban area. You know, there's tents on the coast or in the mountains, but maybe in an urban area, there would be something there. And then kind of the third thing, and I'm kind of spanning years as I say this, but the third thing was that we had a design and build business, a company, my husband and I, and we were often designing people's homes and kitchens and all that. And I kept thinking, wouldn't it be so amazing to do this for ourselves? And then we had this idea one night of, let's do a vacation rental in Portland, in the urban area, with our own kind of design take and, you know, highlighting Portland features. And so I think there was an element where we realized, like, is there another lifestyle that we could lead that maybe would be a little less chaotic? I think that was a piece of going from one business to the other. There was many overlaps, you know, this, even though design and build is building houses, there was an element of hospitality in that because you're in these people's spaces and making the space as beautiful as possible for them and, you know, highlighting what they needed. So I think there's overlaps in the two businesses and, you know, the obvious one being like you're creating space in two different realms.
I know that you have taken kind of this eco-friendly approach to your work, and that's so refreshing to see. What does sustainability mean for you as a vacation rental host?
Well, if you look at kind of sustainability as a three-prong approach, right? So there's like the environmental sustainability. And in that regard, we were able to look at remodeling the house, a house, and saying, okay, we're going to take down this wall instead of, you know, taking all this wood that's coming out of the wall to the dumpster. We're going to denail it and then make it into something else unique, you know, make it into a headboard or into a bookcase or something like that. So we were able to look at it from a deconstruction standpoint from the beginning. And then in building the house back up, we would often do things that were above and beyond like our code, for instance. And then all the way through, like looking at how we can source the consumables that our guests are using, you know, eco-friendly pods and recycled toilet paper, you know, things that are still high quality and that have that function beautifully, but that they also align with the environment. So we call it our environmental filter when we're ordering things and we're like, okay, does it meet these things? Are we being sustainable all the way through? So I'd say that was kind of the first piece of sustainability. And then there's like an economic kind of side to sustainability. Walking to the house, this house is on Alberta Street, which is a cute pedestrian street in Portland, and it's filled with all these locally owned shops. And I realized at that time, I didn't even really know all of my neighbors that were sitting in the area. So I invited them all over. From that meeting came an outpouring of kind of like big shift in people's buying habits. And so we thought, what can we do as a community to support one another? And from there, we started doing, you know, cross-promotional things. Like we would pull our resources together and do one ad in our paper, or we would send out flyers, and that was helping, you know, economically. And that was, that really brought like kind of community and economic viability to our street, which was super important. And then the third kind of piece of, I think, sustainability is the social pillar. I had been working in the refugee field for many years. And within that community, there were many things that were kind of needs that weren't being met. And I kept thinking, like, what's a way that I can help? And in any business I've ever been in, I've always asked the question, what do we have in excess as a business? And what can we do with that to help another group? So I kept thinking, like, well, we have a lot of Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays that aren't booked. What can I do with these nights to give back? And so we started hosting these refugee dinner parties where I would have people first they were friends of mine in Portland who I'd asked to attend, and then it became like their friends and their neighbors and their colleagues. So since 2018, I've been hosting monthly refugee dinners, and I work with six different families in town, and they create a meal from their country of origin, and it's amazing food. It's outstanding. And then we all get together, we eat together, we listen to their stories, we ask questions. So it's kind of like a TED Talk with good food. And then all the money that we raise that evening goes directly to the family.
Wow, that's so impactful. How are you seeing that kind of resonate with your guests and the people that you're involving in your efforts?
Well, that's actually been really cool too, because I started we have a binder when people walk in where it has all the facts about the house and our suggestions for the neighborhood and that kind of stuff. And I started to put a page in it about upcoming dinners. And I would say almost 50% of our guests are Portlanders, and they're getting married or they're having a graduation. So, you know, their families might be coming in from all over, but we have people that are local staying with us all the time. And so just at this last dinner, this family came and they were like, yes, we stayed within your house. And then we saw the page. And so we signed up for one of your dinners. And I was like, oh, this is so great. This is such a full circle moment of, you know, it has to speak to you. It doesn't speak to everyone. I understand that. But I think the essence of traveling, you know, like for me as a traveler, that's my number one thing to do. And I think that once you travel, you understand that, you know, we're all just people. And the more we understand each other and can share with one another, the better we're going to be as a humanity, as a world. And so I think there's something about traveling and being in the travel industry that it, the more dots I could connect with that, just it just feels like a really fulfilling thing to do.
Yeah, and innovative, right? Like really bringing the community together in a way that isn't necessarily something that a lot of people are doing right now. Can you share your thoughts on some of the challenges that you've faced as an entrepreneur overall?
I would say the first challenge is self-belief or knocking that self-doubt out. I remember when we bought our first house, and the houses that we buy are, you know, they're like falling down, moldy. There's mice in them. I mean, they're nasty. I mean, I'm, you know, that's how we can afford them. Mm-hmm. But I remember walking out of the house. My parents had come to see it. And I heard my mom say to my dad, she's going to be in financial ruin. Like she whispered it to him. And I was like, oh my God, is she right? You know, and I just ruminated over that. I was like, oh my goodness, what have I done? And so especially in the beginning, there wasn't anything like that in Portland at the time. And so our test case was like, our wedding, we needed to have it. Is that going to be more people? You know, we were a little bit, I want to say like young and kind of hopeful. So I think addressing that self-doubt can come out in so many ways. I think it does for people. But certainly when you're, you know, purging thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars, it seems, you know, it could keep you awake at night. Like, is this the right thing to do? So quieting that voice I think quieting and, you know, responding to it, but also kind of realizing that this is a jump that you're going to have to take if you're willing to go that route.
Where does Vrbo fit into the picture? And so in what ways has Vrbo enabled you to grow your business?
Well, Vrbo is 50% of our business. We'd be lost without Vrbo, to be candid. I mean, I think that's something that I'm really grateful and thankful for is that opening a vacation rental with having a partner like Vrbo made it totally doable. If we didn't have that, if we were just marketing on our own and trying to get out to a broader community, that would be incredibly challenging. But Vrbo hands us qualified guests almost every day. You know, and that is that's amazing. The other thing I think Vrbo does extremely well is we have account managers that, you know, we actually have their phone number, their email. I don't go into this big cog of a system. I talk directly to someone that knows me, knows my properties, you know, kind of knows my ethos, and can help me directly and specifically. That's been a huge, huge help.
And in terms of the platform itself and any features, is there anything that you think is like a must do, a must have if you're a Vrbo user or something that might be underrated maybe?
Absolutely. One of the tools I really like to use is Market Maker. It's really nice to know where your competition lands. So that's something that you could go in and you could say like, okay, I've got a 4-bedroom with 3 bathrooms and it is, you know, looks like this, and you could kind of, it's in this area, so you can refine and refine and refine to get a good market base of comparable houses. And then you could see like, oh, they're charging, you know, $600 a month or a night, and I'm charging $300. I should raise my prices or drop them or what have you. That tool has been a wonderful tool. And I think the automation of things, that has helped quite a bit, you know, having things automated so that once a reservation comes through, our guest automatically gets a response back. Those kind of things help.
What is your advice to folks who might be on the fence or considering becoming a vacation rental host?
Well, I would ask, do you like hospitality? That would be my probably first question. I think there's that essence of wanting to showcase your city and your location and your house and make it welcoming. If you love to do that, it's not going to feel as much as a job. One thing that I do like within our like kind of hosting that we tend to do is we'll look at things from the 5 love languages. Mm. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, that's so interesting. I've never heard it outside of the context of relationships. So tell us more.
Well, you know, so there's 5 love languages, and one is words of affirmation. That's the first one. So from the moment I get, so I look at those five love languages and I think, how can I apply those to my guests that are coming? And with words of affirmation, I would say, do you need anything, you know, do you need a caterer for the birthday party, or you're going wine tasting, make sure to hit up, you know, X, Y, and Z winery, and I've got a free pass for you at this one. Those kind of things that already get them like excited about their holiday. The second love language is quality time, which, you know, I'm not going to come over, but I'll look at things like, you know, like I want people to walk into the house and think they're the first guest that's ever been in there, you know? So things like having the shampoo and the conditioner all topped off and full and making it look like there hasn't been a guest. The other one is physical touch. We, you know, have Cozy Earth. It's a really high-end, sustainable sheet brand. And it feels so good when you're sleeping in them. So, and, you know, we have eco-friendly products for their, in their bathing and with their hands open, that kind of thing, so that they know, like, we've thought about them a little bit. Acts of service is another love language. And so I will go out of my way, especially if people are celebrating a special occasion, I'll make like a homemade crisp and drop it off so that they know, like, I hear you. I see that you're celebrating this, you know, amazing milestone, and we want to be add to the celebration. And then the fifth one is gifts, which is probably the easiest one to do. So when people enter the house, it could be a variety of things, but we'll make sure that we have locally made products there for them to enjoy. So we make sure we have those things, you know, out for them so that they feel really welcome when they come.
Yeah, that sounds like such a special experience. And what a unique take on, you know, the concept of these love languages that you are normally seeing in a different context. So that's awesome. I love that touch.
It doesn't feel like work. It feels like something fun to do. So I'd say that's one element is, do you love it? If you love it, it's a great industry to get into.
Isn't Michelle's work just so inspiring? I know I got a lot out of that conversation. Her deep dedication to bringing the best to her travelers is one of the many reasons she has found so much success with Vrbo. Big thanks to Michelle for giving us her insight. Let's shift gears to focus on another area of travel where the entrepreneurial spirit shines bright, travel advisors. The Expedia Travel Agent Affiliate Program, also known as TAP, helps travel advisors to deliver personal, curated trip experiences through a booking platform that is user-friendly, efficient, and offers an extensive global inventory with exclusive rates. With dedicated support to provide their clients with the best possible experience, someone who is finding an immense amount of success with the TAP program is Rebecca Smiley, a travel advisor based in Northern Kentucky. Rebecca credits her success to social media marketing, word-of-mouth referrals, and a strong industry partnership, particularly with TAP. Here's my interview with Rebecca Smiley. Rebecca, thank you so much for coming on to this show. I'm so interested in hearing about how you started as a travel advisor. Can you give us a look behind the curtain on how you got started?
Sure, yeah. So first off, thanks for having me. But second, it was actually kind of a funny start for me. I used to work in higher education and didn't really like it, didn't like a lot of the other jobs that I tried too. So surprisingly enough, I met someone at a wedding. I was just hanging out, you know, dancing, doing what you do at weddings. And my husband's uncle actually comes up. He's like, I got to introduce you to my travel agent. Like, what? That's a thing still? like everyone says that. Got to talking to her, didn't think a lot about it, but went home to my normal job again and was like, wait a second, I don't like this at all. What did that lady say that she did? A 3-hour phone call with her later, and here we are. So she kind of got me started in the business.
Yeah, that's amazing. And that's funny that you mentioned the whole, you know, a travel agent, that's still a thing. I'm sure that's something that you run up against all the time. How do you come up against that misconception to kind of explain what you do and reach potential customers?
Yeah, sure. So honestly, I think a lot of people, at least a lot of younger people, are starting to use more and more travel agents when they're traveling, just because of how much is out there on the internet. It's almost overwhelming for people to look up a trip and see, you know, 100 TikTok videos, one of them saying that this resort's great, the other one saying it's garbage, you know, et cetera. And so to have a human being that you can sit down and talk to about different destinations, cruises, whatever it is that you're looking up, I think it kind of sells itself, honestly. Having those kind of real conversations with people and just explaining that very concept has worked really well for me.
Yeah. Along those lines, how do you promote yourself? Are you fully reliant on online promotion, or are repeat customers a part of your clientele? Or is this strategy to meet people at weddings working? Like, do you do that now?
Well, I will say a lot of my stuff is a little bit organic. I know we're just doing audio, so people can't see my shirt, but I'm coming from a pretty small city, Cincinnati. I actually live on the Northern Kentucky side, and luckily in my community, I'm just pretty well connected. I feel like I go out and meet people, Chamber of Commerce, et cetera. Of course, like any small business owner, I do a lot of social media stuff too, but I wouldn't say I rely completely on it. I like to make those in-person connections. I think that, you know, once you get to know somebody, it's a lot easier to plan their vacation. And for me, that's a little bit harder to do over the internet, but I love taking those internet leads too, of course.
Yeah, that's awesome. Can you tell us a bit about your relationship with your host agency, KHM? Can you kind of explain to the audience, what is a host agency? How does that dynamic work with the work that you do?
The thing I always compare it to is actually real estate. A lot of people kind of understand how real estate works, but they don't necessarily understand how travel advising or being a travel agent works. So if you think about a real estate agent, generally they are their own independent entity. They own their own business. But a lot of times they have this kind of operating body that they work under. It might be like a Huff or a RealMax or whatever brand. No one's giving them office hours or anything like that. They don't have a quote unquote boss, but they're still connected to that brand. And that's kind of how they become connected to the industry. So that's kind of the quick overview I always give on host agencies.
That's great. You have this relationship with KHM, but you're still really driving your business, you know, from an entrepreneurship perspective. Taking that leap into entrepreneurship, what was that like for you? And what were some of the kind of scary parts, maybe some challenges that you can tell us about?
Thanks to the Barbie movie, I never like to give full credit to my husband, but I do think that his, you know, he is integral in my kind of origin story. I told him I wanted to quit my job. I think I wanted to try this. And he said, I have one rule and one rule only. You're not going to do it halfway. So I quit and I really just dropped everything and dove in. And that was scary, like you're saying. I did bartend part-time because I couldn't just like have nothing. That scared the crap out of me. But, you know, diving in head first, I think is just, for me at least, the easiest way to jump into this business. Because if you're aren't able to give it your all, I could see how it would be really hard to feel like you can take that leap, I guess. So, because it's a 24-hour business. Let's not get that wrong. Travel happens all the time. So you kind of need to be able to make it a priority. And I'm glad that I was in the situation to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. How does a program like TAP help in providing the best experience for your clients?
I have a lot of younger clients and the internet is just at people's fingertips. So I personally love using TAP because I can send my clients the live Expedia link that they would look at even if they looked it up themselves. My clients love seeing pictures. They love seeing reviews. They love kind of having some autonomy in their trip and feeling like, you know what? I had a say in this. I looked at all the pictures. I saw everything. I like this hotel too. This isn't just Rebecca's pick or Smiley Travel's pick or whatever. I think that for me is one of the biggest helps with Expedia TAP and my clients.
Yeah, that's awesome. Do you see a range of how involved your clients are in that kind of curation? Are there some that allow you to just take it and run, or are there, is it for the most part people want to be involved in that experience?
I would say there's a range, kind of like what you're saying. You know, you might have people who they've traveled a bunch and right now their job's just busy and they don't have time to dive in head first. So they want my help, but they still like doing the research and a bit themselves too. But then you also have people get very stuck into their like four places that they go on vacation. When they're trying somewhere new, they want a little bit more handholding. So I can kind of full service work with whatever level people are looking for.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And from the TAP perspective, are there any elements of the TAP program that you feel are like especially attractive to you or that you've been able to leverage that are part of the program that you love the most?
I think honestly, a very underrated part that a lot of agents probably need to pay more attention to are those commission tiers. I mean, I tell people all the time, there's no reason you shouldn't be able to make quite a bit of commission from TAP, being, you know, whether you're booking those premium plus options or the premium options as an agent. That's awesome to invest in yourself in that way. From an agent perspective, I think more people need to know that about TAP and know how to leverage those options.
Kind of extending that a little bit, what is your advice to other travel advisors who are looking to take their business to the next level?
Take the time to define what the next level looks like to you. It doesn't look the same for everyone. Some people's next level is a multi-million dollar agency. Some people's next level is paying for their next vacation with their own commission check, you know? So just define that for yourself before you let the industry kind of define it for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great advice. How are you looking at kind of the lay of the land of the travel industry to get some data and insight into the approach that you're taking with your client? So for example, you know, we're putting out research all the time, you know, the path to purchase and what travelers want. And how are you taking that kind of information, distilling that into the work that you're doing and then customizing that for your customers?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. I think honestly, one of the biggest ways that I can keep my finger on the pulse is I am a member of ASTA. And they, when I tell you they have their hand in the industry, I got the opportunity to go to DC and participate in their legislative day. So not only are we looking at like the trends in the industry and where do people want to go next? I mean, it's 2024. We can find all of that on social media and stuff like that. So that's easy enough. But kind of knowing the back end and what it looks like in the political sphere and the global sphere, I think ASTA has really helped me with that. I got to sit down with, you know, like senators and Congress people to discuss, you know, the impacts of the government on the industry and the industry on the world, which I think was really eye-opening for me. So I think that lately has been the biggest thing for me to really dive in.
Thank you to both of our guests today, Michelle Ruber and Rebecca Smiley. Their stories make it clear that becoming an independent travel provider is more accessible than you might think. With the right partner like Expedia Group, you can find the tools, data, and insights you need to take the leap into entrepreneurship in the travel industry. Are you ready to be your own boss? Learn more about becoming a travel agent or a vacation rental host by visiting the links in the description. Thanks for listening to Powering Travel, brought to you by Expedia Group.